Well, I suspect that on our gratitude tree, there are a few leaves that give gratefulness and thanks to the author and perfecter of our faith, who is Jesus. Did anyone put Jesus on their gratitude leaf? I see that hand. No, a few of us did. And I thought, yes, because even as Hebrews, the introduction to Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the one. And so on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we're also entering into a series in the book of Hebrews. So if you're a Bible reader who likes to read what is being preached on in any given week, for the next 7 weeks, I would encourage you to preach or read through Hebrews. We'll be walking through this pretty interesting book of the Bible, which it's less of a book, it's less of a letter. It's, again, kind of like James in the wisdom literature. It's a few sermons within the sermons. And so I thought, since we're all together, every generation today, we'd just do some introductory comment on the book of Hebrews and maybe talk about seeing Jesus anew in these days and weeks ahead. And so first, the five W's of Hebrews. The who, what, when, where, and why of Hebrews. So who? Who wrote Hebrews? Bible people and commentary people don't really know who wrote Hebrews. It's written so differently from Paul's letters and some of the other writers in the Bible that it's a question mark. Who wrote Hebrews? We know it was probably written a bit later, but for the sake of fun and giving the women in the room and girls some props, let's say that Hebrews was written by the smart Jewish church planter Priscilla. You might have read in the book of Acts about Priscilla and Aquila. Do you know those names? Maybe some of you recognize those names. Church planters, extraordinaire, encouraging the saints. So let's say that Hebrews, that's written to Jewish Christians mostly, let's say it's written by Priscilla. Yay, girl power, women power? Yay, yeah. Let's give the girls a book of the Bible, huh? It's 2018, everybody. Certainly Priscilla could have written this sermon. So, who? What is she writing about? Well, chapter after chapter, or phrase after phrase, or idea after idea, you'll see that Priscilla is writing about Jesus and how Jesus is better than. Because maybe in this context, in this time, these hearers needed to be reminded that Jesus is the one. This was for the when, okay, third W, when, probably written anywhere from 70 CE to about 90-ish CD. So the latter part of the first century. And so these first hearers, these Christians, would have been hearing this news maybe after being in places of challenge and trial. Where? Where are these Christians located? Probably somewhere in Rome, Italy, Rome area. So a fair ways away from Jerusalem, where this whole Christian movement started, but now these second or third generation Christians need to hear an encouraging word. Why? Why does Priscilla write this letter or preach this sermon of encouragement? Probably because these third generation Christians were feeling down in the dumps. Probably feeling bullied by the powers that be that loomed in and around them. I don't know if you feel bullied in these days, or can you think back to a time when you have felt bullied by the powers? It's not necessarily a happy moment. I think about grade 2 for me, and every recess, my friend and I would burst out the door for recess, hoping to get away from the bullies who every recess rounded us up and put us under this hollowed out cement stairwell. So the best part of my day turned out to be this moment when I was on the run. And they would find us, me and my lovely Asian friend. I don't know, maybe they had something against Asian. And they would tuck us under this stairwell. And all I can remember is their legs walking back and forth for 16 or 17 minutes. And it was terrible. Thank God for Mr. Flagg, our principal, who was a prince, and he was our pal. And he did save us from that season of our life, but it was demoralizing. It was just hurtful. It was scary. And so these third-generation Christians were feeling bullied by the powers. And they were feeling like, well, maybe we need to give up on this thing of following Jesus. Why are we loving in a world so full of enemies? Why are we being generous and gracious and forgiving and compassionate in a world where we feel it's full of meanness, unkindness, not truth in love, but words of hurt, words of malice, words of power, and words of threat? And so that's a big why for these Christians. And I think at different seasons of our life, no matter what age or stage we're at, we find these places and these times when the things of the world or the bullies around us, maybe it's a power or maybe it's a feeling or maybe it's actual persons, have demoralized us. And so Priscilla writes to these Christians. And 2,000 years later, Priscilla's writing to us, saying, hang in there, keep the faith. This Jesus way in the world really does work. That God moves through you, Christ followers, to change maybe the small world around you, or maybe God will call you or the Spirit will empower you to change a bigger world around you. And it's been going on for centuries after century after centuries. And so even in the beginning of this letter, Priscilla writes, long ago, God spoke. And God will still speak today through God's living word. And that living word isn't just a word on paper or the words in our Bible. That living word is Jesus. And Priscilla will go on to say in chapter after chapter or phrase after phrase that Jesus is better. And Jesus, though made, though dipping down into our universe for a while, but then going back and being exalted into the place of honor at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus knows what it means to walk alongside us. And that Jesus will accompany us. And one of my favorite portions of the second chapter that we heard read today was when the writer says, we do see Jesus. And I thought just for a couple moments we could pause and think about the ways that we might be seeing Jesus in these days. Because the writer writes, we do see Jesus. And as we share our seeing Jesus stories as a community of faith, that's an encouragement. That's an encouragement. Because some of us might be at that season in our life where we're saying, I don't know about this Jesus thing. I don't know if Jesus is alive. I don't know if Jesus works in the world. I don't know. But when we come together and we worship and sing and pray and share stories about seeing Jesus, this can be an encouragement to the saints right here at First Baptist Church. So will you just imagine if your daughter or son, or maybe some child amongst you, and even next week we're going to have conversations with the children, some of us parents, but what if someone younger, a child, there's children in our midst right now, said, how do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? What would your answer be? How do you see Jesus? Because I'm not really getting it. How do you see Jesus? And I have maybe three or four people who feel like they have a word for us that we might share in community. How do you see Jesus? Rescuer. Okay. As rescuer. That's a good word for our imaginations. How do you see Jesus?
I see him like through a kaleidoscope. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But when I look at the windows, I see all the beautiful colors. Sometimes it's not much color and I don't see much. Sometimes there's beautiful colors. So I think sometimes Jesus looks back to us in different ways.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Sometimes it's through people. Sometimes something that happens in my day that just I know nobody else could have known about. Or maybe when I'm feeling bad or I've got a hurt and there's nobody else around to help me, he's there. And all of a sudden I see another side of Jesus too.
Good. Seeing Jesus in those quiet moments, but also really sensing and seeing Jesus, even the kaleidoscope in your image is good, of the different colors and the different ways that we might see Jesus. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Okay, on the cross. We see the symbol of that empty cross, and we can imagine what Jesus has done for us, dying on the cross, but then since we Baptists put empty crosses in our sanctuaries, we also remember that Jesus is alive, that by his Spirit he's with us. Great. Symbols that help us see Jesus are great reminders for our eyes and our hearts. Is there one or two more? Savior and friend. So I see Jesus as Savior. That kind of goes with the cross image. I see Jesus as friend, one who companions with us on the way. Yes. Through your dog's eyes, through your pet. These created companions who live amongst us. Great image. Great image. Yes. In the hearts of the people who show love and compassion to vulnerable people. Yes, those who reach out to the other, to the underprivileged. We see Jesus. Yes. I see, so a mother responding to a daughter saying, I see Jesus as close as your skin. Ah, yes. This Jesus who took up residence here, who moved into the neighborhood of our lives, skin and blood, flesh. Yes. Seeing Jesus as sustainer, the one who, in the midst of our work, gives us the strength to sustain us. These are good things, and this is just the conversation starter for you, that you might encourage those around you about the ways that you're seeing Jesus in these days. Because even as we hear these stories and have these images, and hear these words and testimonies, so to speak, even in these moments. It's good for us. I was thinking this week, I see Jesus in the faithfulness of this community of faith that gathers week after week in terms of worship and energy and resources. And even before service, Dawn, our children's minister, and I were just marveling at Look at all these people who have come into this place, who have heard that call to worship and then responded from every area of the city and beyond to come into this place. It's because together we are the body of Christ. And then in interacting and hearing and singing and worshiping and praying together, we see Jesus. And I love that word sustenance. And we are sustained for the journey. And part of being sustained for the journey is communion. And so as we continue to prepare our hearts for our time at the table, we will experience and see Jesus as we gather at the table of our Lord. Thanks be to God for his marvelous, good, and generous presence in our midst.